The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply. It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. Great shows all this week, as I promised. Today is no different. We've got a two-part show today. First hour, we've got Brooks Kubik. Do we really have to get weaker as we age? Is frailty, weakness, part of the aging process? Should we just embrace it and get used to it? And second half of the show, we're going to be talking with Dr. John Chrysler about something called post-finasteride syndrome. If you've ever taken finasteride to reduce DHT, you know that you probably have a lot of side effects that don't go away for very, very, very long time. But there are things that can be done. And Dr. Crystal is going to be talking about that later in the show. My guest is no stranger to the show, Brooks Kubik. How you doing, Brooks?
Hey, Carl. I'm great. How are you today?
Wonderful, wonderful. You know, Brooks, this is something that guys like you and I really have to ponder, because we don't want to get weaker as we get older. We want to keep making gains. But is it realistic, first of all, to think that you could continue to get stronger as you age?
It's very realistic up to a certain point, and that certain point is going to vary from person to person. One thing that you want to do is to take the point where you stop making gains in absolute strength, and you want to push that as far off into the horizon as you can, obviously. Now, having said that, you need to remember, there comes a time when people stop playing professional football. They stop professional boxing. They stop competing in the Olympic Games or in track and field or in, you know, really any activity that involves strength, speed, power. And that's because you eventually start running into an inevitable decline in performance. And that happens to everyone. It happens to lifters as well, weight trainers as well. It will happen, but your goal is to delay that process as long as you can.
Okay. But why can't I continue to get, I have to be honest with you, I think it depends on a couple things, in my humble opinion. Mm-hmm. Number one, where you started from. Number two, how long you've been training.
Well, sure.
For a guy like me, I started really training in 1998 when I got sick.
Mm-hmm.
The first several years, 3 years, I really wasn't training with any other purpose but losing weight and trying to stay alive. And then I started to see strength as my friend and started to train in a powerlifting style.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that first of all, I can unabashedly say I am stronger today than I was in my 20s. But then again, in my 20s, I didn't train like this.
Right.
Could I have maintained this level of strength throughout? Would I have been stronger if I started in my 20s by the time I was 30 and now I would be coming down in weight going, gee, I used to be stronger? I guess it's subjective in my point, in my personal experience, because of the length of time I've been doing it and where I started from. But I continue to get stronger. There's no doubt in my mind that I'm getting stronger every year.
And there's also no doubt that if you weren't training, you would be getting weaker every year.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
The thing that people need to remember is that relative strength is always, it has to be a person-to-person and apples-to-apples comparison. And that encompasses a couple of factors. One is, in my case, I started training when I was 10 or 11 years old,
right,
and was very active in sports in high school, and I've been training hard my whole life. And so that's a different measure than your case where you started later on. So Carl comparing himself at age 50 to Carl at age 20 is one thing. Brooks comparing himself at age 50 to age 20 is another thing.
Right, right.
And I want to speak, you know, I want to speak in this show to people on both sides of the spectrum, or, you know, both sides of the aisle, those who have been training basically, you know, their whole lives, and those who are getting started late in life and perhaps who are wondering, is it too late? Can I make any gains at all? Why should I bother? I think you've answered the question of why should I bother.
Yeah, definitely. It'll keep you alive.
Yeah.
How important is that?
Well, if survival is not necessarily the most enjoyable thing in life, but it's a prerequisite for anything else.
Right, right, right. All right. So, what do you see as being the real defining factor here when we talk about strength as we age, or continuing to get strong, or at least maintaining your strength as you age?
Sure. Well, there are obviously a couple of factors that come into play as part of the aging process. In no particular order and no particular rank, number one, for most people, you start to have a slowdown of glandular secretions, hormone activity, and so on, and that's something that you need to try to counteract. Exercise itself, heavy resistance exercise, promotes glandular processes, promotes good, healthy hormone activity, and does a lot of good things for you, as does, of course, diet and nutrition. You know, so one thing you want to try to do to maintain your strength as you grow older is to optimize your training, to optimize your hormonal and glandular functions. That's one. Second thing is you want to do everything you can, particularly when you're younger, to preserve the integrity of your joints, your bone structure, tendons, ligaments, as you grow older. The things that you do when you're a kid, when you're a teenager, when you're 20, will come back to hurt you when you're 40, 50, 60. They slow you down, they impair your mobility, and they make it harder to move, and they make it harder to move in a free-flowing fashion. And if you have to fight the friction of a stiff shoulder joint when you're doing bench presses, your bench press is going to go down.
Right.
So, you know, one thing you can do that's a very important thing as you grow older is you need to work on flexibility. And that's true whether you're doing Olympic lifting, bodybuilding, powerlifting, strongman stuff, body weight training, kettlebells, I don't care what. As you grow older, the flexibility component becomes more and more important. The third thing relates to heart health. You have to do everything possible to maintain a healthy heart, a healthy circulatory system. If you don't, you simply will not be able to tolerate heavy resistance training as well as you otherwise would.
And this is actually the subject I'm working on of a future show. Interestingly enough, it's funny you should say that. Many, many years ago, when I first started on my journey into physical culture because of my heart problem, I found some studies that showed that there is a governing mechanism in the body, most likely in the brain, that regulates force output and expenditure, energy expenditure, to protect the heart, which means that the heart's ability to deal with strength training becomes the limiting factor on how hard you can train your muscles. So, and this has intrigued me from many, many years ago when I read this, and now that I'm aging and I'm thinking, you know, your heart has to be strong enough for you to train your legs hard enough to get them to grow. If your heart is not strong enough, you're never going to be able to train your legs with the force that it needs to grow, that they need to grow. So I'm actually working on a show to address this and to start looking at more workouts specifically designed to increase cardiac output and capacity.
And, you know, it's really funny that you would mention that because, you know, when I sat down and put all this in book form, in Gray Hair and Black Iron, I started out by talking about, you know, I thought I was going to write a book about strength training for older lifters. And it quickly became a combination of strength training, cardio, heart, circulatory training, using protocols specifically designed for older guys and gals, but older people who like to lift weights and really don't like the idea of getting on a treadmill or doing, you know, conventional cardio, and or people who are older, heavier, who have joint problems, who can't stand the repetitive pounding on the joints that you get from so many different types or so many conventional types of cardio. And so what I put in the book were a number of protocols for training the heart, the lungs, the circulatory system, really because that, you know, if you don't have that going, your strength training is going to be very limited. So it's interesting because we've both followed a similar direction there.
And let me say that I'm actually working on this protocol now because I've discovered that my cardiac output has become lessened in the past couple years. I haven't been training as hard as I normally do. I'm sure that that has something to do with it. So I've decided to start doing certain things, certain exercise routines, and I've been doing them for the past week. And I have to tell you that I have a new movement that I just love. It's a combination of two movements. One of them I learned from you. I do breathing squats combined with farmer's walks. And
oh, wow.
I'm not doing a free bar breathing squat. I'm doing a power squat. You know what the power squat machine is? The power squat 3000 machine. You know what I'm talking about?
Not sure. Describe it.
It's a plate loaded machine. You get underneath the, two pads that rest on your shoulders, almost like a calf, raise machine. And it has a cantilever just like the calf raise machine. But the difference is it goes very, very wide. Range up and down. So you can actually squat in it. The only difference is you're not using a free bar. So there's no risk of falling backwards or forward because you're in these pads, if you will. But the weight on your shoulders that the weight that your body bears is exactly the same weight as a squat. So what I've been doing, the last three workouts I've done this and I'm getting better at, I can already see my conditioning changing. I do 3 to 4 sets of 10 breathing squats, and I'm using 4 plates on each side right now. And immediately upon racking it, I then grab 2 90-pound dumbbells and walk approximately 100 to 120 feet, which is circular, around the periphery of the platform of the gym, and then back up to my squat machine and immediately get back under it. And do another 10 reps of breathing squats, naturally the last 5 or just 5 breaths in between, and then rack it and then grab the 90-pound dumbbells. And I do that 3 to 4 times as my first group of movements before the rest of my routine. And if you want to talk about cardiovascular training, if you want to feel the strain that you put on your heart, I mean, my heart is pounding. Let's put it this way. If I was prone to have a heart attack, I think I would have had one by now. Let's put it that way. I mean, we're talking about, I mean, I look at Litvinov, you know, the Litvi squat, where he would squat and then sprint. And I thought, I want to combine squat with something else. I thought, why not farmer's walks? And why not do the most difficult squat of all, breathing squats? My lats hurt when I do breathing squats from supporting that weight for so long.
That's really interesting that you would mention that. That's very similar to some of the ideas that I talk about in Gray Hair. And you know, one of the interesting things there is, let me ask you this. Would you approach with the same enthusiasm and intensity 30 minutes on the treadmill?
No, of course not.
No,
of course not.
No, I mean, you're a dyed-in-the-wool ironhead, you know, and, you know, you're big enough and heavy enough that, you know, that pounding on your knees and ankles and lower back, it is going to be an issue. The pounding from the
running, right.
Yeah, running.
Right.
So, you know, you've found a really interesting way to, do the kind of cardio that is, in my opinion, much more appropriate for an older lifter. You know, and by lifter, I mean someone who doesn't really feel good if they're not doing lifting, you know.
Right. And that's the key. You're right. I feel better bearing weight and expending that energy than just running on a treadmill of sorts. All right, let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to pick it up. We're talking with Brooks Kubik this hour. Do you have to get weaker as you get older? I say no. Let's find out. We'll be right back. Finally, a Bovine supplement right from the source used in the original study. Phytoserms 347 is here. Bovine natalensis has been shown to dramatically increase testosterone levels in clinical research, but sourcing the real ingredient has proven near impossible. Now, Ruthless Supplements has done the impossible. Each capsule of Phytoserms 347 has the exact amount of pure Prolensis TM Bovine natalensis required to produce a dramatic increase in total and free testosterone. You can't get this anywhere else but at Ruthless Supplements. Visit RLSSupplements.com today. All of your favorite supplements are waiting for you at the best prices and fastest customer service at OrbitNutrition.com. Even some of the more popular supplements advertised right here on Superhuman Radio. They carry All-American EFX, LG Sciences, and Primordial Performance products at the best prices on the net. Visit OrbitNutrition.com today and check out their complete line. Give them a chance to fill your order. You won't be disappointed. OrbitNutrition.com. The best supplements in the universe are at OrbitNutrition.com.
Sissies may want to stop listening now. Super DMZ is the most powerful legal compound available on the market today, bar none. Super DMZ will give you lean muscle and strength gains at comparable rates to the anabolic steroid Dianabol with none of the water retention or bloat. Super DMZ contains Superdrol dimethazine, not to be confused with other Superdrol knockoffs. Get Super DMZ while supplies last at IronMagLabs.com. Don't wait too long because Super DMZ is sure to be added to the government ban list. Go to IronMagLabs.com today.
Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein in the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate. And you can save 5% off the already low, low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent you.
From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at primordialperformance.com. Hey, this is Carl. You know, quite often you're forced to choose between price and quality when it comes to purchasing peptides for research purposes. But you don't have to do that any longer because now there's opresource.net. At OP Resource, you will find the finest authentic peptides available anywhere at the best prices available anywhere. I only trust my research to opresource.net, and you should too. Check them out today. opresource.net.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. My guest this hour, Brooks Kubik. Later in the show, Dr. John Chrysler. Hi, Brooks. So where do you want to take this audience in your dissertation on whether or not we have to get weaker as we age?
Well, I want to share a couple of different viewpoints on it historically, and these were things that I grew up reading. And I'm going to throw it out to the readers as to whether or not they agree with them. The first is from gym owner Sig Klein, the famous old-time strongman who ran a gym in New York City for, I believe, well over 50 years. Klein was a very powerful man and actually set world records in weightlifting as a young man. He did a military press, that is, you know, standing overhead press, perfectly strict, heels together, you know, absolute letter perfect, straight, ramrod straight form, with 150% of his own body weight. He weighed 150, lifted a little over 225. I think it was 228. So a very, very powerful man. He stopped heavy lifting at age 40.
Wow.
Yeah, and he said that he just thought that a man over 40 was too old for heavy lifting, and should do more of a bodybuilding-style training. Now, interestingly enough, Klein, on a three-day-a-week, hour to 90-minute training program, maintained tremendous physical development for virtually his entire life. And it was really funny. They started running photos, I think, when he was 40, maybe when he was only 40, definitely when he was 50. They showed photos of him when he was 20, when he was 30, when he was 40, and then when he was 50, and then when he was 60, they did it again. And his definition and muscular development remained very constant as he grew older. And his muscular measurements were almost exactly the same his entire life, as was his body weight. So, he believed that after age 40 you should stop heavy training, but you should keep training, and it worked really, really well for him. Now, a different approach was followed by George Jowett. George Jowett, tremendous strong man when he was a young man, which would be the teens and 20s, he maintained his strength pretty much through his entire life. There's a photo of him at, I think, somewhere in his 70s, performing a one-arm dumbbell press with a huge, thick-handed globe dumbbell.
Right.
And the way the story goes, the dumbbell was so thick that he dropped it. They were lifting outside. He dropped it in the mud, and a much younger man who was taking photos and writing about it came over and tried to lift the dumbbell out of the mud, and he couldn't do it. And then Jowett lifted it all the way overhead with one hand. As I said, that was in his 70s.
Right.
So that was someone who continued heavy training for his entire life. There was a man named John Y. Smith, an old-time strong man from the Sandow era. He was roughly Sandow's size, 5'6", 5'7", 5'8", perhaps 180 pounds. A very, very powerful man with a very, very powerful grip. He had worked as a sailor on old merchant ships, and so he was used to climbing up in the rigging and doing similar things that just developed tremendous hand and arm and grip strength. He stopped training at one point in his life, in his somewhere, I believe, in his 30s, and he made a bet with a friend that at age 50, he would be able to come back and on his 50th birthday, lift 200 pounds overhead with one hand, using a bent press style of lifting. And they made a bet, and then 20 years later, on his birthday, they met again, and John Y. Smith made the 200-pound lift.
Wow.
At age 50, one-hand lift. He went on to compete in a contest called the Strongest Man in New England when he was in his 60s. He won the contest, and he was competing against men who were literally young enough to be his grandchild. So that's an example of he and Jowett are examples of men who continued to train heavy, continued to do really heavy overhead lifting and deadlifting, one-hand deadlifts, things like that, and again maintain their strength to a very advanced level. Perry Rader, the founder and publisher, editor of Iron Man magazine for the first 50 years of its existence. Perry Rader always said that he believed that a man could maintain his strength at least into his 50s. He was talking about age 50, age 55. Maintain your strength in, basic strength lifts, the squat, deadlift, lifts like that. He felt that it was difficult or impossible to maintain your ability in Olympic weightlifting because it requires more speed, more flexibility, and so in addition to maintaining your strength, you need to maintain your speed, power, and you need to maintain your flexibility. And often it's a very difficult thing you know, to maintain really good levels of ability in all of those aspects of your condition. But if you're just talking about basic strength training, which is, you know, what probably is most important to most listeners, Perry Rader said, and this was based on what he observed and on feedback he got from people who wrote in from around the world for a period of 50 years, you know, he said you can keep getting stronger and you can continue to you know, maintain a very advanced level of development, very advanced level of strength, at least into your 50s. Now, he was saying that as early as the 1950s.
Right.
And, Carl, I would suggest that strength training, muscle building, physical fitness, working out has evolved a whole lot since the 50s. And that if you're a real student of it and you really study the right way to train, the right way to get the most out of your workouts, you're going to be doing things that are just as effective or far more effective than a lot of guys were doing back in the 40s and 50s.
Right, absolutely.
So if you believe that there's progress, then you should believe that that alone is a reason to say maybe that, you know, maybe that thought of maintaining your strength and you know, into your 50s can be pushed into maintain it into your 60s. Then, of course, you've got the whole issue of nutrition, the whole issue of supplementation,
tremendously. And the whole issue of hormone replacement therapy, which totally changes the landscape of this discussion. You know, like you said early on in the beginning of the show, that you feel that it has a lot to do with hormonal changes as well.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to take a commercial break. But one of the things that you said you wanted to talk about is the rate of recovery that people experience as they age. That obviously has a large hormonal factor, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right, let's do this. Let's take our quick commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to pick up this discussion from where it is. We're talking with Brooks Kubik this hour. So here you go, guys. You want to stay strong as you age? We're going to find out how in just a moment. Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com. Muscle building magic happens when you put the right stack together. Iron Mag Labs takes the guesswork out of stacking with Methadrol Extreme. Methadrol Extreme combines three of the most powerful legal anabolics in the world: dimethazine, Superdrol, and Decadrol. The combination of these three agents will ratchet up strength while packing on slabs of muscle and dissolving fat. Don't wait too long, because Methadrol Extreme will only be available for a limited time and is sure to disappear quickly. Go to IronMagLabs.com today and get your bottle of Methadrol Extreme.
There are few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household. Muscle building magic happens when you put the right stack together. Iron Iron Mag Labs takes the guesswork out of stacking with Methadrol Extreme. Methadrol Extreme combines three of the most powerful legal anabolics in the world, dimethazine, superdrol, and decadrol. The combination of these three agents will ratchet up strength while packing on slabs of muscle and dissolving fat. Don't wait too long because Methadrol Extreme will only be available for a limited time and is sure to disappear quickly. Go to IronMagLabs.com today and get your bottle of Methadrol Extreme.
Branched chain amino acids have been shown to be as powerful as weak anabolic steroids in building muscle and burning fat. BCAAs will increase mitochondria biogenesis and size. The three amino acids in BCAAs pass right from the lining of the stomach directly into the bloodstream and begin flipping the switches for muscle growth immediately. The best BCAAs are at TrueProtein.com. Unlike others, they mix instantly in water. And you can save 5% off the already low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Go to TrueProtein.com and get your BCAAs.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Now, for those of you who are listening at a computer or a web-enabled device, you're going to want to go to brookscubic.com and read today's blog post. Because in today's blog post, Brooks has the formulary for building strength as you age. At least maintaining strength as you age. Would you say that's a true statement of that information that is on your blog right now?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's a good way of putting it.
And it's a great routine. I'm looking at it. It's a fantastic routine. I mean, it's a routine that anybody could do and get stronger. I don't care how old you are.
And that's one of the interesting things. My approach to working out as you're getting older is to keep doing what you were doing and what was working for you when you were younger. When a lot of people think about working out for, you know, training for older people, they think about doing light stuff. They think about doing light reps. They think about using a lot of machines as opposed to free weights. I'm very much in favor of free weights, and I'm right about that constantly. But, you know, the sets and reps and the weight selection is a very important thing. And getting older does not mean that you start taking things easy, and it doesn't mean that you start sitting in an easy chair somewhere and listening to golden oldies and waving your hands around and saying, well, I just took my workout. It's a lot different. Carl, I think we may have covered this before, but do you have a guess as to what I think is the most important or the best exercise for any older lifter?
I got to say it's the deadlift.
Yeah.
That's my opinion.
And that's my opinion too. Specifically the trap bar deadlift.
But I can't do, you know what? I have I have trouble finding the center of the trap bar, and it wants to teeter-totter on me too much. I actually have not been able to do successful heavy trap bar deadlifts yet.
It will come with time. It's practice.
Yeah.
It's practice and dropping down in exactly the same position and so on. And it also may be how you're holding the bar. You may be putting too much weight on the first two fingers of the hand instead of gripping it, uniformly.
Right, right.
You know, if you're a lot of people will use the first two fingers as their primary gripping fingers.
Right.
And that doesn't matter nearly as much on a regular bar, but on a trap bar, it makes a huge difference.
Right.
But older lifters need to concentrate. And if you go to the Dinosaur Training blog, you'll look at today's post, you'll see that there is enormous emphasis on training the legs, the hips, the lower back.
Yeah.
And, you know, those are your power areas, those are your strength areas. People talk about the core, and they talk about core training. You know, core training is not doing crunches to get a six-pack. Core training is training the power muscles in the center of the body, and that happens to be the hips and the back. So you do squats, you do deadlifts. If you like Olympic lifting, you do Olympic lifting. But you do not do what most programs for older people are, and that is a whole lot of upper body work and not a whole lot of leg work. And the other thing that, you know, I'm adamantly opposed to, if you are an older lifter, stop wasting time sitting down and lying down. The majority of your exercise should be done standing on your feet. And the reason for that is that as you get older, one of the most important things is to preserve your neurological function,
right?
Your balance, your mobility, your stability. And, you know, if you're lying down, if you're sitting down, you're taking the balance, the stability, the nervous system innervation out of the picture. And that's why, you know, your program of breathing squats combined with the farmer's walk, where you're standing on your feet and you're moving, you know, that's one of the great things about the farmer's walk. It's a moving exercise, very unique in that fashion. You know, that's a great thing for an older trainee to do because you're working your cardio, you're building strength, you're building muscle, and you're working on balance and stability and mobility. You know, if you've ever been to a nursing home, you know full well that a lot of people have very severe limitations in their mobility, their ability to walk, to stand and to walk. And I'm talking about at a relatively early age. You know, there are a lot of patients in nursing homes in their 70s who are wheelchair-bound. And that, you know, that is a very difficult thing to live with, obviously. It's a crying shame. And quite frankly, in many cases, it's not necessary because it's the result of lifestyle choices when you're younger, such as the choice to eat too much food, the choice to eat too much of the wrong kind of food, and the choice of not exercising. It's the exercise, particularly the standing on your feet, the moving exercises, that are so important.
Okay, so with that being said, you're saying basically instead of sitting on the bench and doing overhead presses with dumbbells, stand up and do them.
Absolutely, absolutely. The majority of your exercises as you get older should be exercises where you stand on your feet. And you know, that's if you're doing barbell curls, if you're doing dumbbell curls, stand up when you do them. Don't use a machine for your curls. Don't do incline bench curls. Don't do preacher bench curls. Do a standing curl. You know, simply because the standing movement is more important for you as you grow older. And as you said, the overhead press is a great example because once the bar is overhead or the dumbbells are overhead, you have to do a lot of work to hold them in position, and that work triggers, you know, the entire posterior chain in order to keep the lifter in an erect position with weight at arm's length overhead. Similarly, squats are better than leg presses for an older trainee. Now, if you're limited by knee issues, and that affects a lot of older trainees, try moving to the deadlift or the trap bar deadlift. If you're limited by lower back issues or if you're limited by shoulder issues, and that affects your ability to do squats, try doing front squats.
Yeah.
You know?
And front squats actually might actually be more beneficial for working your legs and less your back.
Yeah, the front squat is a very underrated, neglected exercise for older lifters, really neglected for anyone other than Olympic weight lifters, but it's a great exercise. And that constitutes virtually all of my squatting now. I do the front squat because it's much easier on the shoulders. And real interesting thing about the front squat, again, going back to that idea of core training, the front squat will work your abdominals, all of your midsection, very, very intensely. You're essentially doing an isometric contraction on every rep, you know, and particularly if you do them without wearing a belt, and you go all the way down and you maintain perfect form all the way up and down, the middle of your body is working like heck to hold you in the proper position. And you can actually use front squats to train your abs. How about that?
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. It is that good of an exercise. And you know, if you don't believe me, there is an Olympic weightlifter named Piros Dimas, who was an Olympic gold medal winner. You can find him on YouTube, or you can find pictures by, you know, Googling for him. Look at his abdominal development under his lifting suit as he is coming up with a heavy clean when he's doing a clean and jerk. And what he's doing essentially is a front squat to recover from the clean position. And you'll look at those muscles, and they're popping out.
Wow.
They are enormous. It's like he's got six rows of coconuts on his stomach.
You know, it just goes to show, if you really are confused about what to do, it's the power moves, the power movements that really make all the difference. They really, really do. I mean, if you just want to cut to the chase, the power movements are the ones that you need to be doing.
That's absolutely true.
And they haven't changed in 100 years.
They have not trained. They have not changed. And the older you are, the more important the power moves. They have greater benefits for you at age 40 than at age 20. Greater benefits at age 50. Greater benefits at age 60. Greater benefits at age 70. You know, they're the ones that are going to give you the strength to continue living a normal life, to keep on working, to be healthy, to be strong, to be fit, and, you know, and frankly, to keep on living and living a good life, a full life, a very satisfactory life. The lighter movements will not do it. It's those strength and power movements that do everything for an older trainee.
Yeah. We've got to take our last commercial break in this interview. If those of you are not familiar with Brooks Kubik's website, it's Brooks Kubik, BrooksKubik.com. At the very, very top, you'll see a link to the far right-hand side that says blog. If you go to today's blog, there's a formula there. But really, this is a formula for building strength in general. And as Brooks says, building strength at any age is still the same. I want to come back and talk a little bit about recovery when we come back. We were supposed to talk about that a little bit in this segment, and we didn't. But let's save it, because this really, in my opinion, you're right. This is the definitive factor, because building strength at any age is the same. But the difference is the time it takes for you to recover. It's almost like if you're a brick mason and you have cement that takes an hour to dry, and I have cement that takes a day to dry, then you're going to be able to build a whole wall in a day, and it's going to take me months to do that same work. Interesting, right?
Good analogy.
Stay tuned. We'll be right back. If you want to be superhuman, you can't eat junk. Finally, there's a protein bar that isn't just candy in disguise. Quest protein bars have 20 grams of protein, 4 to 5 grams of non-fiber carbs, and the only bars on the market with no sugar or sugar alcohols. I've never promoted a protein bar before, but these are delicious and unlike any other protein bars you've ever tried before. They're so good that Quest Nutrition is giving away 2 free bars to all my listeners, even free shipping. Go to superhumanradio.com right now and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to try them today. The fourth most abundant mineral in the body, magnesium, is responsible for 300 biochemical reactions, normal muscle and nerve function, proper heart rhythm, healthy immune system, and proper hormone levels. But most find taking oral magnesium problematic. Get optimum magnesium levels with transdermal magnesium oil from MikeMahler.com. Magnesium absorbed through the skin can elevate DHEA levels and a variety of other reactions that can increase energy, reduce muscle soreness, lose stomach fat, and ramp up heart health. Go to MikeMahler.com today. That's Mike, MaHLer.com.
Muscle and joint pain can slow your progress to a screeching halt. That's why I use Kodiak Chiropractic Cream. Kodiak Cream won't hinder muscle growth while reducing pain and inflammation, because Kodiak Cream uses only non-pharmaceutical anti-inflammatory agents proven to halt inflammation and relieve pain instantly. Kodiak Cream is great if you suffer from fibromyalgia or osteoarthritis as well. Get your Kodiak Cream today by clicking the banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Kodiak Cream. It's the only thing I use to manage pain, and you should too.
When you take real performance-enhancing supplements, your body is placed under a lot of stress. Your organs need support. If you had to take a supplement for each of the potential side effects, estrogen conversion, blood pressure, liver protection, cholesterol control, water retention, androgen receptor upregulation, kidney function, and much more, you'd have to break the bank just to pay for it all. That's until Need to Build Muscle's N2 Guard. N2 Guard does all of this and more. It's the only real cycle support supplement that you'll ever need. Look, if your organs are important to you, buy N2 Guard today at needtobuildmuscle.com.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. Wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Hey, this is Carl. You know, quite often you're forced to choose between price and quality when it comes to purchasing peptides for research purposes. But you don't have to do that any longer, because now there's opresource.net. At OP Resource, you will find the finest authentic peptides available anywhere at the best prices available anywhere. I only trust my research to opresource.net, and you should too. Check them out today. opresource.net.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Now I'm lost. I'm screaming for help.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. For those of you who aren't aware of this, Kodiak Chiropractic Cream is a new sponsor on the show. For a limited time, and I really mean this limited, they only have a limited number of these free packets, sample packets of Kodiak Cream. This stuff is amazing. I actually pulled a soleus muscle sprinting about a week or so ago with Elisa. And my leg was in such pain that I couldn't walk. And I rubbed some of this stuff on my calf. And literally, I couldn't believe it. I said to Elisa, could it be working that fast? The pain just went away. And it's not like Bengay, where it makes your skin hot and diverts your attention. Stuff is amazing. Go to superhumanradio.com, down at the bottom of the page, especially you older lifters. Click the link at the bottom where it says get a free sample of Kodiak Chiropractic Cream. Give it a couple of weeks to arrive. I'm telling you, this stuff is great. You're going to have to check it out. Okay, Brooks, the definitive factor in all of this really is, as we age, our bodies don't recover as fast and sometimes don't recover at all.
That's absolutely true. And what you need to do as you grow older is keep a very careful eye on your progress. And by progress, what weights are you using in your big exercises? Your squats, your deadlifts, bench presses, overhead presses. Assuming that you're performing the same exercises in the same form. In other words, you know, if you squat with knee wraps and a belt, that's your standard for measurement. If you don't, then that's your standard for measurement. You know, if you do full squats, measure them to full squats. If you do half squats, measure them to half squats. You know, that's obvious. But if you are getting stronger, or if you are at least maintaining your strength over the years, you know, then you're using a program that is probably about right for where you are right now. If you're gaining strength, I'm sorry, if you're losing strength, you need to make adjustments. Or if you hit a plateau and you just can't gain at all, no matter what you do, then in that case, again, you need to make an adjustment. Now, your adjustment is almost always going to be reduce the workload. And that goes contrary to what so many people think. It goes contrary to, you know, the Puritan work ethic, you know, the idea that we need to train more and more and more and do more and more and more in order to get results. That is absolutely not true for an older lifter.
Right.
An older lifter needs to really focus on the recovery, the recuperation, and has to design a training program that allows for recovery and recuperation.
Right.
And the other interesting thing, they do competitions for Masters powerlifting, Masters Olympic lifting, Masters track and field, swimming, etc. They start at age 30 or 35, and they group the athletes in 5-year age groups. And there's a reason for that. And the reason is that 5 years is a whole lot of time when it comes to your training program and what's the most effective training program. 5 years is a big chunk of time if you're 40 compared to 45, if you are 50 compared to 55. And what people find And particularly, this is the case when you're 45, 50 on up. Those 5 years make a big difference.
Right.
And what that means is the program that worked for you when you were 40 is probably going to be a little too much when you're 45. The program that works at 45 is going to be too much when you're 50. The program at 50 is going to be too much when you're 55. And at all these levels, you need to consciously check your performance, check your results, see what's happening, you know, how is your body responding, and reduce the total amount of training that you're doing, the total workload, in order to enhance your recovery ability as your recovery ability naturally starts to diminish. You know, there's no other way to do it.
Now, all of this changes when you start to add into the mix hormone replacement therapy. When you start hormone replacement therapy, and I'm talking about nothing exotic. If a man just starts on testosterone, whether it's a gel where he is getting an average of about 5 to 7 milligrams a day into his body, or even as much as 11 milligrams a day into his body, all the way up to injectable testosterone at 250 milligrams a week, your recovery is enhanced dramatically. This individual can continue to get stronger in the same fashion that a 20 or 30-year-old can get stronger. Would you agree with that statement?
I really can't, because I don't have any personal knowledge of that. I don't take any hormones. I'm not into any hormone replacement therapy. What I do, and again, I'm going back to apples and apples. I've never taken steroids. I never took steroids when I was competing, and you know, I never have, and I doubt I ever will. So I'm comparing drug-free lifting to drug-free lifting.
Right.
And what I'm finding is that your recovery ability diminishes, but you can still train very hard, very heavy, very effectively, and come close to maintaining your absolute strength, definitely maintain your relative strength if you're comparing age 40 to age 50, age 35 to age 55. But you have to do the right kind of training. A lot of people neglect the training. You know, they look for other answers, and they keep trying to train the way they did when they were 20, and it doesn't work.
Right.
It doesn't work. You need anything that you do needs to be part of a holistic program. And your training is obviously part of that holistic program. Most people forget about it. And most training programs for older lifters are really, they appear to be written by younger folks, frankly.
Right.
I mean, have you noticed that?
Yes, absolutely. And let's face it, most of the stuff about gaining strength is written for younger folks, because it's just assumed that us older guys, well, we've abandoned that notion. I remember when I first started powerlifting, I was working for a company in Connecticut, and the president of the company used to always brag about how he played college football and all this sort of stuff. And here I was powerlifting, and I remember the first time I pulled a 600-pound deadlift, I was just so excited. I remember we were at a company meeting, and I was in his car. We were going to dinner with a group of us, and I said, you know, that I had achieved this goal. And he looked at me, and he goes, "What are you doing that for?" he said. "You know, haven't you done that stuff already? You know, you still got that in your system?" And I remember thinking to myself, hell yeah, I still got it in my system. Don't you? And the truth of the matter is, older guys do. They just don't want to admit it or tap into it, because they're not willing to either A, put the work behind it, or B, they don't have the emotional energy to chase it, to believe that they can chase it.
Yeah, it's like...
So strength is belongs to the young. I mean, really, when you think about it, but not anymore, because we're taking it back.
Well, it used to be said that the man over 40 was the forgotten man. You know, Perry Rader used that line. Harry Pashaw used that line. They said the man over 40 is the forgotten man. No one writes about him. They forget about him. And interestingly, it used to be It was very difficult in any kind of magazine to find an article about someone who had been a star back when they were a teenager or when they were in their 20s, and then check up on them and see how they were doing in their 40s or 50s or 60s. No one cared. I think it's different nowadays. I think there's a lot more information out there about elite-level athletes and how they age. You know, there's a we have masters competition in virtually every branch of athletics. We're developing a good idea of what the older body can do. And frankly, the older body can do a heck of a lot more than most people think it can do.
Look at Wade Johnson. Coach Wade Johnson is, I know this for a fact. I don't say this about many people. I know he has been drug-free his whole career.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? He is a drug-free power lifter. I want to say he's 42 or older. I keep forgetting how old he is.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a, he finally reached his 1,000-pound squat.
Wow.
I mean, the guy is, he's got, I don't remember what his bench press is. I don't know if it's 600 or 700 pounds. I mean, the guy is immensely strong. He continues to get stronger and stronger. He has confided in me that, this year, I believe he's going to go for a certain total.
Mm-hmm.
And once he achieves that, he's going to drop back because he does believe that carrying all the weight he's carrying this late in life.
Right.
Is not a wise thing. I don't know that that's true or not, frankly, because most of it is probably muscle. I mean, I know he carries a lot of adipose tissue as well because of tissue leverage effects and stuff like that. But nonetheless, here's a perfect example of a drug-free lifter who's gotten stronger and stronger as time went on.
It's something that most people just don't believe will happen, but it can, and frankly, it should. It's a matter of intelligent training, sticking with it, maintaining your motivation, you know, and being motivated to make gains is half the battle at any age.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's plug your website again because we've come to the end of the interview. It is BrooksCubic, BrooksCubic.com. There is a formula there for gaining strength at any age, but especially for us older guys, and paying attention to the things that help stimulate recovery, like proper nutrition, sleep, and lowering stress can all benefit the older lifter to continue to make gains. Do not give up the idea that you can get stronger as you age. I have not abandoned that idea. I believe my mantra is stronger is younger. Every year I get stronger, which means to me, every year I get younger. And I think we all need to hold on to that. Brooks, thanks so much for being on the show today, man.
Hey, you're very welcome, Carl.
All right, talk
have
to you soon.
Have a good one.
Yeah, you too. All right,
bye.
So stay tuned. When we come back, we're going to have Dr. John Chrysler on, and we're going to be talking about a drug that some of you may have used to combat the negative effects of DHT, and that is finasteride. And if you have used it, you know that you're probably plagued with a myriad of side effects, even from a short-term use of it. We're going to talk about finasteride and how to recover from it when we come back. Stay tuned.
Then we head back to my crib for the night. That's how it goes down all night long. She whispered in my ear, said she loves my song. This is why I'm hot, she got it on the phone. Top 10 download, number one ringtone. I'm in my zone. Tell me what's good, what it be. Can't say I'm what you want, but I got what you need.
Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones. And Test Charge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you have ever tried. Because only Test Charge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in Test Charge. Test Charge will jack your testosterone levels like illegal agents. But rest assured, there are no banned substances in Test Charge. Test Charge is the secret weapon used by IFBB legend Flex Wheeler. And now you can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find Test Charge today. CoQ10 is known to ramp up mitochondrial function. PQQ is documented to increase mitochondrial biogenesis and size. Now get two of the most advanced anti-aging supplements in a single capsule. Brought to you by Dr. Peter Rouse, CoQ10 and PQQ combined will give your body the mitochondrial energy and production that you need. And to make this offer even better, Superhuman Radio listeners get 20% off when you call
call 310-895-5385 and mention that you heard it on Superhuman Radio.
I've never felt a pump from taking a supplement. That's until I tried creatine nitrate from APS Nutrition. I expected to feel nothing, just like the NO supplements I had taken before. But this stuff really does work. Even taking below the recommended dose, I could feel the sensation of tighter muscles under the swelling effect of the pump. And the pump lasts for a few hours. It worked for me and I was a skeptic. Check out creatine nitrate by visiting APSNutrition.com today. Try it and you'll be a believer too.
That's the sound of 37 dumbbells. That's a lot of weight and a lot of wasted space when you can get the same thing done with just one set of power blocks. The new, quieter, urethane series power blocks with FlexPin technology are the heaviest and easiest to use quick change dumbbells on the market. Starting at just $149 a pair, power blocks can grow as your strength grows, all the way up to 130 pounds per dumbbell. Imagine a whole rack of dumbbells in the space of just one pair with power blocks. Go to powerblock.com today or call 800-651-1937. Power block, the world's best dumbbell.
Finally, a Bulbine supplement right from the source used in the original study. Phytoserms 347 is here. Bulbine natalensis has been shown to dramatically increase testosterone levels in clinical research, but sourcing the real ingredient has proven near impossible. Now, Ruthless Supplements has done the impossible. Each capsule of Phytoserms 347 has the exact amount of pure Prolensis TM Bulbine natalensis required to produce a dramatic increase in total and free testosterone. You can't get this anywhere else but at Ruthless Supplements. Visit RLSSupplements.com today.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
This is the Superhuman Channel, doing reps with the weight of the world.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Just want to remind everybody about a coupon code for opresource.net. opresource.net. If you want to save 25% off, use Superhuman25, S-U-P-E-R-H-U-M-A-N. The number two, the number five. My next guest is no stranger to the show. He is Dr. John Chrysler. He operates from his office in the man cave. Many of you can find him at allthingsmail.com. And those of you who know him know he's helped millions of men around the world achieve better hormonal life. How you doing, Dr. Chrysler?
Great, Carl. It's always good to be with you and the smartest audience in internet radio.
You know, I say that all the time. The funny thing is I've said it, that any one of my listeners could host my show because we have the most single most intelligent audience in the world. We really do.
Some good bros out there.
That's why they won't listen to Dr. Oz, because they're too smart to be pulled in by the Wizard of Oz's trickery. That's
We're getting onto him now.
There you go. Anyway, okay, finasteride. Finasteride has been around for a long time, especially within the bodybuilding community. It is used to combat the negative effects of high levels of dihydrotestosterone. When people use finasteride...
Let me stop you right
yes,
there.
Yes, yes.
If I could, please.
Please.
It's not necessarily high levels of DHT. We don't really know for sure what the levels are in the men who are suffering the post-finasteride syndrome, the topic of today's talk, because no one draws a lab up front to find out.
Right.
So basically, doctors are prescribing a very powerful endocrine-disrupting drug, that a hormone that affects every single cell in the body without even checking to see what the levels were beforehand. And I hate to be cavalier about it, but for purely cosmetic reasons in this case.
When you say cosmetic, you what? For hair loss, you mean?
Yeah, and I, you know, men's hair is important to them, definitely. I mean, it's not an issue for me, but I don't think you have to have cancer to be an oncologist.
Right.
So, you know, I just had too many men sitting in front of my desk, literally sobbing from what this drug has done to them to not care about it.
I've heard stories. I shouldn't say heard. I've read stories on the internet in the recesses of bodybuilding forums about individuals who've used finasteride And as little, one time, I don't mean one dose, but one time, maybe for a week or two, and ended up with completely obliterating their libido, effectively getting erectile dysfunction, having hot night sweats continue, and it doesn't go away months after cessation of the drug for some reason. It stays with you. What the hell's going on?
Yeah, the gamut of the symptoms of the post-finasteride syndrome really extends across all body systems. No matter what anyone says, and this is something we should, you know, take the opportunity to explore further, the simple fact that a man can be perfectly fine, take a 5-alpha reductive agent, and there's a whole bunch of them, of many sorts, and within a few days develop permanent symptoms which are persistent after he ceases use of that particular medication, the temporal relationship is just too strong to ignore. Now, you know, what are we looking for here? We're looking, in my opinion, we're looking for how to screen these men to find out who's susceptible, because it is indeed a very small percentage of population, but it's 100% if it's you. And it's not funny. It's not a joke. These guys are not making it up. And anyone who thinks that they are or thinks this is just someone trying to make a buck off the pharmaceutical industry really needs to think about where both their mind and their heart are at.
Okay. First of all, I have to ask you a question. There seems to be some recent discussion about the FDA and some of these types of drugs, especially Propecia. What do you feel that this class of drugs should be removed from the market entirely?
No. I think that Propecia has saved a lot of men's hair. For the vast majority of men, it's an effective and apparently safe drug, since the majority of men, the higher percentage of men, can take it safely. But for those who, for some reason, are predisposed to the post-finasteride syndrome, it is so profoundly destructive to their lives that we need to at least try to figure out what is causing it so we can offer informed consent to our patients, just like with every other medical therapy out there. Simple as that.
Okay. Are you involved in any of the class action suits against Merck right now?
Man, you're getting right down to business here, aren't you? No, I'm not. I've been contacted by attorneys, and you know I'm not that fond of trial attorneys either.
Right, right.
Trial lawyers are generally a pretty sleazy lot. I've been contacted by trial lawyers from three different countries, and I've just turned down. I'm more of a guerrilla fighter, I guess. I'm kind of working this thing through the boards and through some stuff in the media.
Just by trying to spread the word about the dangers of this drug.
Right. I've already gotten banned from several message boards for talking about this stuff, so I must be doing some good out there.
Really? Why would they ban you about sharing? I mean, I know that bodybuilders love finasteride when they use drugs that have high DHT conversion. So
the old grandma ball cycle is going to produce a lot of DHT. But here we are. It's a question of degree, because these guys are going to have tons of DHT from all the testosterone that they're using, for instance. And that is a different that's a different hormonal milieu entirely.
Right, right.
Yeah.
What are there drugs out there that would benefit that are as effective as finasteride in controlling the effects of DHT but don't have the damning side effects?
Well, as far as controlling DHT, I mean this is the list of agents that we have learned are capable of causing the post-finasteride syndrome. There's finasteride, which is Propecia, and also Proscar. I wonder if anybody's looking at Proscar, which is 5 times the dose, which is used in urological medicine, to shrink the prostate. You don't need to shrink the prostate using DHT control if you could know how to control estrogens,
right,
as doctors of my ilk do. There's dutasteride, which is a slightly different form, saw palmetto, Avodart. I mean, there are a lot of it. There's 5-alpha reduction in an endocrine-disrupting manner, which seems to hit a switch in some men. And again, it extends across all body systems. I will never hear another symptom of this post-finasteride syndrome, which will surprise me. I mean, I hear every report out there.
What are some of the worst symptoms that you've seen from this type of DHT blockade?
Well, it's a chicken and the egg situation with depression because, you know, if a guy is not able to function sexually and he's weak and fatigued, he's going to become depressed. And by the way, we've just had another suicide from post-finasteride syndrome.
Really?
All these doctors out there, these hair transplant doctors out there that are making fun of us, laughing about this situation like it's so much fun with them collecting their $1 million a year income. Yeah, tell that to the family who just lost their son. Yeah, this is very serious business. And, you know, honestly, it does get my dander up. I recently went on a forum called The Bald Truth, which has always been suspected as being kind of a shill for Big Pharma. That's my opinion.
Right.
Because there's a lot of pro-Propecia talk on there. And the guy that runs it has previously been bad-mouthing those of us who are earnestly trying to help our patients.
Right.
And then he had some goofy female hair loss surgeon on there, and I do mean goofy, because they did an interview that was absolutely ridiculous. She made several statements which rise to the level of scientific fraud. Mistakes so stupid, and I do mean stupid. I've got medical students at the medical school where I teach who could pick them out.
Right.
They made fun of my friend Dr. Irwig's study where he started to look. He's a George Washington University endocrinologist who has recently published a study just beginning to look at this. And he openly published the parameters of a study and the limitations of a study. They're acting like he's some kind of an idiot or something. And I took offense to that.
Right.
So I went over and posted on his forum, basically straightening it out. Well, that brought my merry band of little trolls that seem to follow me around for messages. But I love them, right? They're a fuzzy little beast. They come onto every forum I venture out onto and attack me. But some of them probably are, since it was the very first post ever on there attacking me, probably agents of Merck Pharmaceuticals.
Wow.
That's what we think.
Wow.
Whether they say it or not, of course, they're not going to admit to it.
All right, let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to pick this discussion up. This is an important discussion. If you've ever used finasteride, you know the deep, dark secrets about it. We're going to talk more with Dr. John Crystal about that when we return. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Branched-chain amino acids have been shown to be as powerful as weak anabolic steroids in building muscle and burning fat. BCAAs will increase mitochondria biogenesis and size. The three amino acids in BCAAs pass right from the lining of the stomach directly into the bloodstream and begin flipping the switches for muscle growth immediately. The best BCAAs are at TrueProtein.com. Unlike others, they mix instantly in water. And you can save 5% off the already low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Go to TrueProtein.com and get your BCAAs.
From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery system available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at primordialperformance.com.
Finally, a bovine supplement right from the source used in the original study. Phytoserms 347 is here. Bovine natalensis has been shown to dramatically increase testosterone levels in clinical research, but sourcing the real ingredient has proven near impossible. Now, Ruthless Supplements has done the impossible. Each capsule of Phytoserms 347 has the exact amount of pure Prolensis TM bovine natalensis required to produce a dramatic increase in total and free testosterone. You can't get this anywhere else but at Ruthless Supplements. Visit rlssupplements.com today.
That's the sound of 37 dumbbells. That's a lot of weight and a lot of wasted space when you can get the same thing done with just one set of power blocks. The new, quieter, urethane series power blocks with FlexPin technology are the heaviest and easiest to use quick change dumbbells on the market. Starting at just $149 a pair, power blocks can grow as your strength grows, all the way up to 130 pounds per dumbbell. Imagine a whole rack of dumbbells in the space of just one pair with power blocks. Go to powerblock.com today or call 800-651-1937. Power Block, the world's best dumbbell.
Sissies may want to stop listening now. Super DMZ is the most powerful legal compound available on the market today, bar none. Super DMZ will give you lean muscle and strength gains at comparable rates to the anabolic anabolic steroid Dianabol with none of the water retention or bloat. Super DMZ contains Superdrol dimethazine, not to be confused with other Superdrol knockoffs. Get Super DMZ while supplies last at IronMagLabs.com. Don't wait too long because Super DMZ is sure to be added to the government ban list. Go to IronMagLabs.com today.
Muscle and joint pain can slow your progress to a screeching halt. That's why I use Kodiak Chiropractic Cream. Kodiak Cream won't hinder muscle growth while reducing pain and inflammation because Kodiak Cream uses only non-pharmaceutical anti-inflammatory agents proven to halt inflammation and relieve pain instantly. Kodiak Cream is great if you suffer from fibromyalgia or osteoarthritis as well. Get your Kodiak Cream today by clicking the banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Kodiak Cream. It's the only thing I use to manage pain, and you should too.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. My guest this hour, Dr. John Chrysler, we're talking about finasteride and its damning effects. Those of you who have used it know what we're talking about. I feel fortunate that I've always sidestepped it. Even when I was using drugs that that finasteride may have mitigated some of the side effects, what is that DHT? I can't think of the name of it now. Anadrol. I used Anadrol for a short period of time as an experiment to see what it was like. And I started shedding hair. And someone said, oh, you know, that's DHT. You need finasteride. And I was like, oh, okay. And
you need something to cover the fact you're getting kicked in the liver by it, too.
Yeah, that's true, too. You're right.
Yeah, let me finish this about this forum while I'm thinking about it.
Yeah.
Probably some people like to hear all that went. So, you know, I laid down a challenge. I asked Spencer Coburn that owns that forum. And I said, let's have a debate. I mean, this doctor thinks she's such an expert on this drug that she wants to belittle my pal, who is an endocrinologist, by the way. Why would a surgeon, for gosh sakes, think they're qualified to argue with an endocrinologist? And there are several issues along those lines. But so I laid down a debate. Well, she posted again on there, which shows she'd been following the thread, but she sure was afraid to debate somebody actually knows what he's talking about this. Right after that, anyway, the thing kept up, and I'm getting banned from there, so that was pretty good work. And then I saw a clip from an interview from another hair transplant surgeon in Florida. And the interviewer was, basically the whole thing she said basically started off by saying the numbers were skewed and the study was a joke and so forth. I mean, it wasn't an honest interview. This hair transplant surgeon went on there to say, number one, that, you know, that because the study was not conducted by a hair transplant surgeon. I go, well, again, why do surgeons think they're qualified as endocrinologists? And look, I'm a simple country doctor. I'm not a board certified endocrinologist, and I can figure this stuff out. They ought to be able to. Another thing is that they're talking about that there are no symptoms or symptoms resolve. Every physician out there will tell you that men do not want to bring up sexual side effects.
Right.
I mean, even when they're coming in to discuss the erectile dysfunction, they come in for something else, and they don't even bring it up until you got your hand on the doorknob to leave the exam room.
Yeah,
by the way.
Yeah, right, yeah. Exactly.
So are these hair transplant surgeons really honestly surveying their patients, or do the patients just disappear? Some of them are disappearing because they're killing themselves.
Wow. Is that dramatic?
That dramatic.
Okay, so assuming that someone has used finasteride, how many doses do you have to take? Is it a single dose that creates this downward spiral, or do you have to take it for a while?
Offhand, I think probably the shortest duration of treatment I've heard is 3 days. It may be shorter than that. I don't know, but I remember one guy telling me he was perfectly fine. He took the drug for 3 days, and he instantly began feeling terrible from it, so he quit taking it, and the symptoms. That's a problem. Another problem, Carl, is that getting us back into the hormonal discussion, is that these guys come in, they have all the symptoms of low testosterone, but they may have very nice testosterone levels.
Ah.
You know, what am I supposed to do there? If they come in, their testosterone is low, it's a simple thing. I have about half dozen different post-cycle therapy, like, you know, from the old days of treating steroid athletes, to try to restart their system. And now we're using triptorelin, you and I have discussed already. I'm getting some restarts using that. That's pretty cool stuff.
Right.
But if a guy comes in and his levels are high, And we try, I still try restarts because that has worked in a couple guys. Maybe it was just a tincture of time, I don't know. But some of these guys actually require perhaps 50% above the top of normal range. And everyone who knows me knows I've never prescribed an anabolic steroid. I'm a complete normal range kind of guy.
Right.
But this is a case where it looks like androgen resistance. In other words, you have good androgen levels in your bloodstream, but you have the symptoms of low testosterone.
Right.
The reason, the way it differs from androgen resistance androgen resistance, you'll see high levels of gonadotropins, luteinizing hormone, and follicle stimulating hormone.
Right.
That's
right.
A classic case. Well, these guys have, you know, normal pulsating levels of gonadotropins and good testosterone levels, but they act in every way like they have low testosterone. And that is a tough case. That's a much more ominous case. I love it when these guys come in and I have to, by the way, when I come in, I tell them the first thing, you may have traveled from, I got patients in all 50 states, I think 21 foreign countries now. These guys come in, I tell them, first place I have to tell you, we don't know what to do for you. So get their expectations right. But we got about 10 different things we're going to try, and we'll just start running through them until we find something that works.
Okay, so as little as 3 days, what kind of doses are generally used? Isn't finasteride taken in extremely low doses?
Generally one milligram per day.
1 milligram a day for 3 days and the onset. Now, I have heard, and I don't know if you can validate this or just dispel this myth, that finasteride has a 50-year half-life in the body.
I don't know about 50 years, but it hangs around for a long time.
How long do you suspect that it hangs around for?
Well, it's not just a matter of how long it hangs around. It's cleared. It's not so long how long it takes for it to clear from the body, but its metabolites hang around for a long time. I hear varying numbers. I don't know. But I can tell you the symptoms can be persistent, as in forever.
Okay. At least the normal lifespan, obviously. Mm-hmm. Okay, so...
Or it should be an abnormal lifespan. Yeah.
What can be done for these poor guys? Can you give a... First of all, it also should be said that progesterone looks very similar to finasteride, which leads me to believe that if you are having DHT-type side effects... Make sure that you're taking something like pregnenolone so that you have enough donor hormone to produce enough progesterone. Do you think that's a misstatement?
Well, it's a, you know, I don't use progesterone in my practice. Some people do successfully, and I'm looking into that. My mind is always open. But progesterone, as we've talked about before, is a very feminizing hormone, including perhaps inhibiting 5-alpha reductase, which is the enzyme that converts testosterone to DHT and other hormones as well, by the way. It seems like if you add pregnenolone, and we've done, a couple of shows on this now.
Yeah, one of the most popular shows we've ever done is on pregnenolone.
Thank you. That the pregnenolone flows down through progesterone and doesn't seem to give the progestogenic symptoms
right.
as you can get when adding in progesterone. But, you know, progesterone is very interesting because progesterone is converted to a powerful neurotransmitter in the brain, allopregnenolone. And that is actually anxiolytic, or it is very important for keeping our mental state balanced. And you reduce its levels when you give finasteride.
Really?
Enough that it can cause profound psychological symptoms. And so we're seeing, again, the point is, and I'm sure all these hair transplant surgeons are such experts. By the way, I was taught in my medical school to not prescribe a drug unless I know how it works. And they clearly do not. Because 5-alpha reductase operates on many hormones in the body. In fact, if I'm doing a Ryan Consulting Labs 24-hour urine panel, I can look at the DHT that is produced by the body in 24 hours, and it's usually pretty good balance between what's in the bloodstream and what shows up in the urine. But I use the THF to 5-alpha THF ratio as a better measure for intracellular 5-alpha reductase levels. I mean, there are a bunch of... You look at how much DHEA is converted to estrone.
Mm-hmm.
That's 5-alpha reductase.
Right.
It's dependent. You look at the androsterone to eticlanolone, that's 5-alpha reductase to 5-beta reductase. So we're looking at a bunch of intracellular metabolites, and oftentimes I see a disjoint between the intracellular metabolites and the actual DHT levels. And that guy seems to be at a greater risk of, actually the patients that show up in my office, I should say it this way, there's increased likelihood I'm going to see that. Also, I'm seeing lower levels of sex hormone bioglobulin, which as we've discussed before, though I've never seen a study, if a guy has low levels of sex hormone bioglobulin, he's just more likely to suffer anxiety and so forth. And that seems to go along with this post-finasteride syndrome as well.
So why are doctors even prescribing finasteride right now, other than Proscara for a prostate issues?
I wouldn't even use Proscar because I can shrink prostates by managing the...
I'm talking about the run-of-the-mill doctors, Dr. Oz out there. Why would Dr. Oz want to give someone, I'm not saying that he would, but the Dr. Oz-esque physicians out there, why are they even prescribing this drug, finasteride? Why?
Because it's safe and effective for most people.
But what would I come in and present with that my doctor would go, well, this would be a first line option of treatment for you?
No, hair loss for whatever reason.
So that's it, hair loss.
And basically, it's an androgenic alopecia because the more diffuse forms we're looking at, basically a fungal infection or thyroid
or blood flow.
Patchy,
hypothyroidism. Two thirds of all the individuals suffering from male pattern baldness, regardless of whether it was androgen related or so, two thirds have poor blood flow to the scalp.
Mm-hmm.
I say get your blood flow right. Do some handstands once in a while, but that's just me. When you
shampoo your hair, work your fingers through your scalp every single time. That's just great for circulation.
Massage, exactly. So the only reason that doctors are prescribing this drug is for hair loss.
Mm-hmm.
At one
milligram.
Okay. So those of you who are considering using this drug for hair loss, keep in mind that while it may save your hair so you look good, you're not going to feel good, and you're not going to be able to perform in bed with any women. So I'd rather be bald and functional between you and
me. It's easy for us to say with a full head of hair. Men are going to be fine.
Dr. Chrysler, I've suffered from both of these issues between you and I. I was losing my hair when I was using some DHT products, and my hair got really thin.
That was iatrogenically induced, was it?
Yes, and it went away, and my hair got thick again. But I also have suffered from ED. Thank God for Dr. Mark Gordon, to help me out with understanding what was going on with me. But I was using high doses of testosterone and Decadurabolin, and I thought that the testosterone I was using at the levels I was using would mitigate the effects of the Deca. Well, it didn't. And that's another, not having the soldier working is really scary. Really, really scary. So to me, that presents a bigger emergency than losing my hair.
Yeah, the PDE5 inhibitor drug class has just been an absolute gift from God.
Yeah,
I hand it out like
you know, you know. And you know what? I got to tell you something. We talk about performance enhancing. People are so willing to take drugs to lift an extra 5 pounds here and there. The PDE5 classes of drugs, like you're talking about, Cialis and what's the other one? I can't think of the
other one. Viagra.
Not Viagra. Cialis and Levitra.
Levitra.
You know what? Great. I don't even care if you have ED. If you're a guy 35 or 40 years old, taking one of those is just a performance enhancing drug in an area of performance that really, really counts, in my humble
opinion.
It's got
to be, outside of alcohol, it's got to be America's number one recreational drug.
Yeah. You know what? I think it should be sold over the counter, to be honest with you, but.
Yeah, probably people with cardiac issues, that'd be dangerous.
I know. And actually, even people without cardiac issues, if you abuse that, those drugs, you can give yourself some really, really bad side effects cardiovascularly. All right, let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we'll pick it up with Dr. John Chrysler. You can visit Dr. John Chrysler by going to allthingsmale.com. Sorry, ladies, this one's not for you. We'll be right back.
Pre-workout products crank you up, then leave you flat and fatigued. Except now, you're strung out from being overstimulated, hungry because it destroyed your appetite, and in a catabolic state because you can't eat for recovery and growth. That's why you need to get Lit Up from Applied Nutraceuticals. Lit Up is an original blend, not a copycat formula here. Lit Up delivers the perfect amount of energy, focus, pump, and intensity without feeling strung out or a loss of appetite for hours after your workout. Plus, Lit Up creates an anabolic environment by jacking testosterone levels through the roof. Get Lit
lit up today at appnut.com.
Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein and the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate. And you can save 5% off the already low, low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent you.
I've never felt a pump from taking a supplement. That's until I tried creatine nitrate from APS Nutrition. I expected to feel nothing, just like the NO supplements I had taken before. But this stuff really does work. Even taking below the recommended dose, I could feel the sensation of tighter muscles under the swelling effect of the pump. And the pump lasts for a few hours. It worked for me and I was a skeptic. Check out creatine nitrate by visiting APSNutrition.com today. Try it and you'll be a believer too.
CoQ10 is known to ramp up mitochondrial function. PQQ is documented to increase mitochondrial biogenesis and size. Now get two of the most advanced anti-aging supplements in a single capsule. Brought to you by Dr. Peter Rouse, CoQ10 and PQQ combined will give your body the mitochondrial energy and production that you need. And to make this offer even better, Superhuman Radio listeners get 20% off when you call 310-895-5385 and mention that you heard it on Superhuman Radio.
When you take real performance-enhancing supplements, your body is placed under a lot of stress. Your organs need support. If you had to take a supplement for each of the potential side effects, estrogen conversion, blood pressure, liver protection, cholesterol control, water retention, androgen receptor upregulation, kidney function, and much more, you'd have to break the bank just to pay for it all. That's until Need to Build Muscles N2 Guard. N2 Guard does all of this and more. It's the only real cycle support supplement that you'll ever need. Look, if your organs are important to you, buy N2 Guard today at needtobuildmuscle.com.
Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein and the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate. And you can save 5% off the already low, low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent you.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. My guest this hour, Dr. John Chrysler. We're talking about post-finasteride syndrome. And it doesn't take much finasteride to give you the syndrome. Stay away from finasteride at all costs. Unless you have a life-threatening disease that your 5-alpha reductase in your body is compromising your health, do not use this drug. Okay, so what can be done for individuals? Is there hope, or are they hopeless?
Hope of keeping their hair without using finasteride?
No, recovering a normal life after using finasteride.
Right, and I want to make the point, too, that sometimes guys are on this drug for a long time before they develop these symptoms. That's part of the medical history that I take. You know, is it really the drug in that case? I mean, we really have to keep our minds open and look at this, because certainly men come to me with these same symptoms who never took finasteride. It doesn't seem to be as horrible in those cases, and they're much easier to treat. But there are guys, everyone practicing, back to referring to our pal Dr. Mark Gordon, his phrase interventional endocrinology, will tell you there's patients you just can't tune up no matter what you do. I tend to take all comers, and maybe somebody's failed 5 or 6 doctors, you know, sometimes there's a reason for that. We just don't know what to do for them yet. But these guys come on, sometimes they take the drug for a couple of years. Now, is there an underlying issue that just starts up that wouldn't have been so bad if you not had the overlying finasteride? I don't know. Is there just some of these guys just seem to have a switch that right off the bat it gets hit, there's some epigenetic effect? I don't know. Maybe there's underlying liver issues that they suffer now or develop later. Maybe if there's some prostate issues going on. I think there's a doctor in Greece who is claiming to get really good results for this post-finasteride syndrome. He doesn't really attribute it to the finasteride. He claims it can be a prostatitis underlying that can really, really torch the sexual effects. and that will cause depression if you're if
prostatitis, meaning inflammation of the prostate, irritation,
right,
inflammation,
right,
of the prostate.
Rather infective or inflammatory, and the fluoroquinolone drugs are good for treating both of them. But he used a lot of very deep and understanding uncomfortable prostate massage. The fact that his doctor claims that he's the only one in the world who's good enough to ever do that, so he won't teach anybody how to do it, that kind of throws me off a little bit. But my mind is open, so I certainly want.
Well,
to
okay, but how would someone know if they have prostatitis? What would be the go to test? Would there be an X-ray or a scan?
Well, they're a urologist and have a digital rectal exam.
So digital rectal exam. Okay, so that's
ultrasound.
It. Okay,
which everybody needs to do anyways. Like, gosh, if you're 50 and over, I caught prostate cancer. A 44-year-old Caucasian male, no prostate history family and cast in the family. Was completely healthy other than his hypogonadism. You shouldn't worry about it. You know, guys come in and complain about getting the digital rectal exam. Basically, I tell them to shut up, turn around, bend over, because they're not women.
I get a digital rectal exam every April 15th by the government.
Good for you. And, you know, it takes just a minute. You're done for the year. You know, if women got to have pap smears and get their breasts squashed and mammograms and all that stuff, it's much easier being a man.
That was a joke, Dr. John. It was.
I know.
April 15th is tax day.
Well, okay. We've heard all of them.
Okay. Are there any secrets you can give individuals who have used finasteride, who are in the dark and they're thinking, gee, I'm going to have to suffer through this and live like this forever? Is there hope for them? Can they come to a doctor like you? And can you help them? Or is this something that the best they can expect is not to get any worse, but to be stuck where they are?
Yeah, well, come over to my forum. We got a hot thread there going on. Go to the Propecia Help Forum. I want to give a shout-out to Mew, because if this thing gets solved because of his leadership, the guy's been all over the world working on this problem. You know, the brotherhood that comes along, with just joining with other men when you're told there's nothing wrong with you, it's all in your head, that really adds to the problem. What next are we going to tell people that cancer is all in their head? I mean, there have been a lot of medical conditions through the history of medicine which have been ignored or denied. There are medical conditions which we used to treat, like adrenal fatigue, which now are denied by most of conventional medicine. It's the same human body as always. So,
right.
You know, take heart. Go to one of those forums. There are a number of doctors around the country who are looking at us now. We have a pretty hot little bunch, including Dr. Shippen and Dr. Tracian there, and Dr. Earwig, and so forth. We're having meetings. We're talking about this and communicating back and forth on a regular basis, comparing notes. We all bring a little different perspective. I tend to come from the interventional endocrinology side, but I'm just a pattern recognizer. I'm just trying to figure out something common in these guys. And again, the symptoms can come. You know, we see a lot of adrenal fatigue. We certainly see subclinical hypothyroidism, and that's something we need to attack right now. Guys, I tell you that they're cold. The one symptom that always strikes me that I hear from these guys is they say, I no longer have a relationship with my penis.
Yeah,
it's
right.
It's cold. It's numb. Even when they get erections, they may suffer anhedonia, which means, and means without, and hedonism, basically the second half of that word. They have orgasms, but they have no pleasure from the orgasm. That's very frustrating.
What now? If someone is a candidate to take a drug like finasteride, what alternatives are there if they want to stay away from finasteride because of all the potential dangers of it?
Well, it's not really fair to complain about something unless you offer a solution alternative. In my practice, and you all can do this too, I use a topical. It was a topical cream with a liposomal delivery system, and it has spironolactone and ketoconazole in it. And for most people, it works just great to stop hair loss. It's
really?
It's a slow process, yeah. There's no systemic absorption, and you can get it. It's listed on my website for my patients. I mean, you got to be a patient to get it from me.
Right.
But you can go to your compounder anywhere and get the same darn thing.
Now, why spironolactone? Spironolactone is a diuretic, isn't it?
Yeah, they first started using, right, it's a gentle diuretic, potassium sparing. The guys in the hospital on spironolactone started developing gynecomastia, man boobs.
Right.
What is it that you call man boobs again? That's so funny. I always
chesticles.
Chesticles.
Yeah.
And then they realized, and they looked at the molecule, that the electrostatics and allosterics, of the moiety of the molecule, is as an androgen blocker, androgen receptor blocker.
Hmm.
And it's a very powerful androgen receptor blocker. And then ketoconazole, you use at 2%. 1% is nizoral of the counter, but we go to the prescription strength 2%.
Ketoconazole is an antifungal, isn't it?
Yep. But if you take it orally, you really have to watch your liver. But if you take it, studies show if you apply it topically to the scalp, it's not systemically absorbed. So you don't have to worry about that. It both stops production of androgens, it blocks the androgen receptors, and it also has an effect on the immune system. And certainly there's an immune component to hair loss. And, of course, too, if you have some kind of a fungal issue on your hair and your scalp, it's going to help clear that up as well. So it works really, really well. Guys who can't get a hold of their doctor, contact my practice. I've set up a little program they can use to get some information to their doctor and get the stuff that I use. It costs the same amount, whether it comes through me or go directly to your compounding pharmacy, but we're putting this together to try to help the guys to try to keep them off the finasteride. So they're welcome to contact my practice if they want to.
Now, could you also use that topically for other DHT-related, like bacne? A lot of guys will get real bad acne on their back from high DHT levels from using androgens. Could you rub this on a large surface area? When you start getting into the large surface area, you do end up with some systemic delivery.
Gosh, it's a good question. I guess I never thought about that. We'll give that some thought.
Yeah, give it some thought, because I have a little background in transdermal dynamics, and I know that when you start rubbing stuff on large areas, then simply because of the volume that gets into the small capillary networks in the skin, there is some systemic delivery, minute, but still some. And I know that lots of guys end up with terrible chest acne and back acne from some of the androgens they use, and that's been associated with DHT conversion. It would seem, and I know a lot of guys will use things like Propecia topically to combat that. It sounds like this would be a safer alternative than Propecia.
Yeah, I'd like to see analysis of blood whether the finasteride is systemically absorbed or not. Darn stuff's so expensive. If the spironolactone and ketoconazole works, and there are some other things we're looking at to add into it too, or I look into it to make things better, but we're not ready to talk about that just yet. But it's even taking DHEA at proper doses, which for a guy, if you're going to take it orally, which is the worst way to take it, 25 milligrams twice a day, or even sometimes with the transdermal, which is a much gentler and more steady delivery system, they'll end up with a little bit of acne on their face or some bacne from it. Basically, it's just from changing hormone levels, and it's transient. It calms down in a little while.
Interesting, interesting. What is there anything else that can be used besides this particular topical blend?
Sure, lots of stuff out there. Go to these hair loss forums. There are a whole bunch of them out there. We're talking about all kinds of things. You're going to have to read through a lot of different posts and try. And you got to remember, too, that the hair cycle is a very long one. And so, and sometimes, too, you get shedding right off the bat. That actually can be a good sign of what's going on. But the hair loss cycle, the hair cycle is very long, so it takes a long time for things. For Propecia, it's a 6-month trial of therapy. So,
isn't the anagen phase of hair something like 3 to 6 years, 3 years or 6 years?
Well, I think the important thing is that once you've lost the hair, is that you can, it sits dormant for, it is possible to recover that hair,
yes,
hair root.
Yes.
And so even the areas you've lost hair, I've heard guys that are regrowing some peach hair. I think probably, from what I understand, minoxidil is better for regrowing hair. That seems to be the consensus. I'm sure. I am not an expert on hair loss in any way, shape, or form. I just found something that works in my patients, and I'm sticking with it.
Yeah, and it's
I'm trying to improve it. No, I'm trying to learn. But
let's face it. It's better than using oral finasteride, which I never understood the concept of taking an orally delivered drug to treat one small segment of the body. Another one that I have trouble with is...
There you go. By the way, there you go. Because it's like filling a teacup in a thunderstorm.
Well, yeah.
You're affecting every single cell in your body to wait for a little bit of it to get to your scalp.
Well, you know what? Another one of those idiocies to me is people who have a toenail fungal, taking an oral drug for a toe. You can't get any further away from the body and smaller than the toenail. And you're going to put this thing in your body. Why not just make a topical and rub it on your toes? It doesn't make any sense.
Well, it's hard to get it. Again, the problem with this is that there's a slow growth. It's like when you're trying to fight a fungus, the reproductive cycle is so slow. That's why it's so hard to treat the prostate for BPH or for an infection. It's not well vascularized.
Yeah.
Things that go slowly are hard to treat. By the way, I've had some guys tell me anecdotally that when they get on the virgin coconut oil, you know, because you can fry anything you want to it, if you can stand the taste of coconut every day.
I love coconut oil. I eat it copious amounts of it. Go ahead.
Yeah, a little Hershey syrup. It's like a candy bar. But they tell me that since getting on the eating the coconut oil on a regular basis, that their toenail fungus is clearing up.
Is that right?
Uh-huh.
That's cool. Very cool.
I don't know if it's true.
Well, there you go. People out there need to try it if you have toenail fungus and report back to me. All right, Dr. John, hold on. We're going to take our last commercial break. We'll be right back with more of Dr. John Chrysler.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Branched-chain amino acids have been shown to be as powerful as weak anabolic steroids in building muscle and burning fat. BCAAs will increase mitochondria biogenesis and size. The three amino acids in BCAAs pass right from the lining of the stomach directly into the bloodstream and begin flipping the switches for muscle growth immediately. The best BCAAs are at TrueProtein.com. Unlike others, they mix instantly in water, and you can save 5% off the already low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Go to TrueProtein.com and get your BCAAs.
I've never felt a pump from taking a supplement. That's until I tried creatine nitrate from APS Nutrition. I expected to feel nothing, just like the NO supplements I had taken before. But this stuff really does work. Even taking below the recommended dose, I could feel the sensation of tighter muscles under the swelling effect of the pump. And the pump lasts for a few hours. It worked for me and I was a skeptic. Check out creatine nitrate by visiting APS Nutrition. Nutrition.com today. Try it and you'll be a believer too.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. WiseChoiceMedicine.net. CanSee Eye Drops. The name says it all.
If you want to be superhuman, you can't eat junk. Finally, there's a protein bar that isn't just candy in disguise. Quest protein bars have 20 grams of protein, 4 to 5 grams of non-fiber carbs, and the only bars on the market with no sugar or sugar alcohols. I've never promoted a protein bar before, but these are delicious and unlike any other protein bars you've ever tried before. They're so good that Quest Nutrition is giving away 2 free bars to all my listeners, even free shipping. Go to SuperHumanRadio.com right now and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to try them today.
The fourth most abundant mineral in the body, magnesium, is responsible for 300 biochemical reactions, normal muscle and nerve function, proper heart rhythm, healthy immune system, and proper hormone levels, but most find taking oral magnesium problematic. Get optimum magnesium levels with transdermal magnesium oil from MikeMahler.com. Magnesium absorbed through the skin can elevate DHEA levels and a variety of other reactions that can increase energy, reduce muscle soreness, lose stomach fat, and ramp up heart health. Go to MikeMahler.com today. That's Mike, MAHLER.com.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. I'm on the air with Dr. John Chrysler. Okay. So, in summary, people should avoid finasteride if possible, right?
Well, again, the vast majority of people do fine. I wouldn't risk it. I can tell you that the post-finasteride syndrome sufferers would beg you not to.
Yeah, if they could turn back the clock, they would, obviously.
They sure would.
Okay. Listen, I want to ask you about something on a different note. We didn't talk about this ahead of time. I'm trying to get Dr. Abe Morgenthaler to come on the show. I've been experimenting with subcutaneous.
I'll ask him for you.
Can you? Okay.
I'd be happy to.
He was the first one to start to discuss sub-Q oil depots, testosterone injections.
He was the first?
Wasn't he?
Dr. Shippen about 5 years ago.
It was Dr. Shippen, you're right.
Dr. Shippen made, he's just an awesome guy. He made fun of me on stage one day. I walked in the lecture hall in Las Vegas at an AFIRM conference. He said, I don't know when Dr. Chris is going to get with the program and start doing this, but I've been experimenting with sub-Q testosterone. Let's just keep that amongst us.
You have?
I have been. Uh-huh.
Okay. I've been experimenting with it personally, and here's my logic behind it. About a month ago, instead of doing my once-a-week shot intramuscular, I just found a fatty area on my butt in the same area that I usually give myself a shot intramuscular and just pushed the – I'm using the same syringe just to make life easy and pushing it in but not going into the muscle, going into the fat and releasing the oil into my body and under the skin. And the reason I started doing this, John, is because a year ago I accidentally – gave myself a very large sub-Q shot. I must have gone in the muscle at an angle or something and come back out. I don't know what I did.
Well, since we're short on time, let me get off on this subject for just a second here. Okay. You can use like a 29 gauge. You have to fill with a 22, and I don't want any larger bore than 22 because all those draws will tear up the septum of the vial.
Right.
So fill the 22. Get yourself a little half cc or 1 cc syringe. You can measure more accurately because these guys are doing shots every day or every other day. Then you've got to change out to a fresh 29 at like 3/8 of an inch.
Right.
And you've got to put a little extra in the syringe because you're going to have to refill that barrel.
Right.
So make your adjustment. The problem with the sub-Q injections is that a number of guys will develop an inflammatory response and get a hard little nodule in there. I don't know what the ratio is yet because I haven't had enough patients on it. But it is a wonderful way to go because I really hate the thought of, you know, if you're giving one shot per week of testosterone, and as we've discussed many times, you have to take at least, you know, no greater interval than 1 week for testosterone cypionate or an anthate. Is that we're talking 52 injections a year, 520 injections per decade for many, many years. And I don't like the idea of poking all those holes. You know, all the steroid guys, I'll tell you, they end up getting pools of blood in their glutes from enough shots. Just really works around there. The problem is I see with sub-Q injections, number one, is anybody's ever changed their oil in their car and dropped the trash in a plastic bag, we'll show you they'll melt right through the bottom. So it kind of concerns me about putting oil into fat. It doesn't seem to be elevating estrogen levels as we thought because we're afraid that exposing it to the fat where the aromatase enzyme is more concentrated may do that. It doesn't seem to be doing that, which is a good thing, obviously. In fact, probably giving smaller doses more frequently does not ramp up the aromatase enzyme, a.k.a. estrogen synthetase enzyme, that increases estrogen. So the larger the dose of testosterone, you get more and more estrogen. So these smaller little shots are better. On the other side of the coin is that variability in respect to hormones is part and parcel of youth. Younger men have more variability in their testosterone throughout the day. Sub-Q injections like that are going to have very, very even testosterone levels, not just across the day, but literally across the week as well. And I think guys probably do better on transdermals because of the
Let me open up this discussion. This is really...
let me finish one more thing if I could. One thing, guys, this is a point something we just figured out is that the guys that come in with low sex hormone binding globulins, they should not be on transdermals. And you need a more, for some reason, if you have anxiety and or, and they're very closely associated to my mind, low sex hormone binding globulin levels, I think those every day or every other day sub-Q injections are the way to go.
Okay, now, here's my first question. Do you think that the depot in the skin delivers faster than the depot in the muscle?
Nobody knows.
Probably I think not. I think it does. I think it
I
does.
Don't, Well, you're not actually. You shouldn't be in this. You should be below the. You should be below the capillary bed, the subdural capillary bed.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
Nobody knows, and I think it probably is more taken up by lymphatics anyway.
Yeah, and I got to tell you why I think it delivers faster. This incident that I was sharing with you a year ago, where I accidentally gave myself a sub-Q injection of 3 cc's of testosterone enanthate. If you've ever
accidentally,
I did not go into the muscle at the right angle. Apparently, I must have come back out of the muscle.
And by the way, a lot of obese patients are doing that. They aren't actually hitting the muscle. It takes a long needle to get through all that.
Well, and I'm using an inch and a half, 22 gauge inch and a half pin. But what I did was I went in at an angle. I think I actually went right through the glute muscle. I've actually done this before with sub Q injections where I've come out the other end of the skin. But anyway, and so I released 3 cc's of oil. I immediately was gasping for air the same way when I would hit a vein. And go through a vein, even though I aspirated, when I would retract the syringe, some little amount of the oil would get into my bloodstream. I would feel it in my lungs. I'd start palpitating. I'd start getting sweats. I'd start having this rapid breathing. And it's because of the benzyl alcohol hitting the bloodstream so quickly. I had that same exact effect with the sub-Q injection, which made me think that it's being delivered faster than if I was going intramuscular.
Well, a wallop of that much benzyl is going to do something anyways, but I don't know. Nobody knows what the pharmacodynamics are of sub-Q testosterone. My guys want to get tuned up, you know, like yesterday, so it's just hard to tell really how to dose it and how to follow up lab, how to draw follow-up labs and follow it up. I don't know.
Here's the other thing that I started thinking about. You have told me time and time again, and I agree with this, that having the normal pulsatile nature of testosterone on a day-to-day basis is important, and that's why transdermal is your go-to approach. But the problem with transdermal in my mind is there is inconsistency of delivery. Even in the same patient, given different variables, they become dehydrated. The skin becomes dried out, blah, 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 blah. So you have this this constant willy-nilly.
As you do in normal life.
No, okay, but wait a minute.
Testosterone levels are quite variable in the same fellow in, you know, without, it was not on testosterone replacement therapy on a day-to-day basis.
But here's part and parcel
of being alive and being healthy.
But here's where I'm going with this, and I'm not rushing you, but we're coming to the end of the interview, and I would just want you to give me your opinion. What about daily sub-Q injections of testosterone suspension, which is basically just a base testosterone?
No way.
Why?
No, the half-life is way too short. It's profoundly inhibitive of the system. It just doesn't last long enough to do anything.
What would last longer, long enough to give you that that same emulation of a day-to-day pulse that you get from transdermal?
Well, Dr. Gordon and Dr. Shippen are now we're using some little mixtures to balance the half-lives. We may not be able to for long because it looks like the FDA is going to seize control of all these medications and deny us our medical rights and hurt our patients. But
as of when?
That'll be subject for another show.
Yeah, we have to do that show. I didn't know about this. The FDA is trying to seize testosterone?
Yeah, since the Obama administration came in, the FDA is going nuts.
Yeah. Well, you know what? The Obama administration is going to be short-lived because he's not going to become president for a second term, number one. Number two, the FDA has to go bye-bye. I like Ron Paul. I like Ron Paul's attitude. I think Ron Paul would cut the FDA completely and just get rid of it. That's my opinion.
Yeah, I'm probably a libertarian by nature, except no free dope for everybody, but I'm just trying to help my patients.
All right, listen, for those of you who want to get in touch with Dr. John Chrysler, go to allthingsmail.com. Dr. C, thanks for coming on the show today.
Always a pleasure, Carol.
I talk to you soon.